Now, in a logo, stars twinkle in the sky. Our view drifts down through clouds to a river that winds past hillsides. A train crosses a bridge. As a flag waves on top of a castle's tallest spire, a bright display of fireworks explodes in the sky. A glowing pinpoint of light arcs over the castle, leaving a trail of sparkling dust. Words appear, Walt Disney Pictures. Now, high in the night sky, a full moon gleams through thin gray clouds. Our view retracts through titles. Walt Disney Pictures presents. Continuing to withdraw, we pass London's clock tower, Big Ben, on our right. Alice in Wonderland. Through the thick fog, we drift over chimneys and rooftops. Our view pulls back over the top of a mansion, descends smoothly, and moves forward toward a lit second-story window. Inside, four Victorian men confer in a study.
Charles, you have finally lost your senses.
This venture is impossible.
For some. Gentlemen, the only way to achieve the impossible is to believe it is possible.
That kind of thinking could ruin you.
I'm willing to take that chance. Imagine trading post in Rangoon,
Bangkok, Jakarta.
The men see a young blonde girl in a nightgown at the door. Charles frowns.
The nightmare again.
She nods softly. A seated gentleman looks at the concerned guardian who steps out.
I won't be long.
Later, he sits at the girl's bedside.
I'm falling down a dark hole. Then I see strange creatures.
What kind of creatures?
Well, there's a dodo bird, a rabbit in a waistcoat, a smiling cat.
I didn't know cats could smile.
Neither did I. And there's a blue caterpillar.
Blue caterpillar.
The pale girl gapes, dark circles ring her eyes.
Do you think I've come round the bend?
Charles gently touches the back of his fingers to her forehead.
I'm afraid so. You're mad, bonkers, off your head. But I'll tell you a secret. All the best people are. It's only a dream, Alice. Nothing can harm you there. But if you get too frightened, you can always wake up. Like this.
Ow!
He pinches her shoulder and she grins. Charles caresses her cheek. Daytime. A horse-drawn carriage hurries down a lush country road, following twin ruts in the grass. On board, Alice, now a young woman, gazes out the window with her dark ringed eyes. A matronly woman seated opposite her grooms her with a brush of her hand.
Off we go.
The woman smirks.
Doubt they'll notice if we never arrive.
They will notice.
She reaches for Alice's bodice and eyes her.
Where's your corset?
Alice lowers her gaze. The woman lifts Alice's dress to reveal her bare legs.
And no stockings.
I'm against them.
But you're not properly dressed.
Who's to say what is proper? What if it was agreed that proper was wearing a codfish on your head? Would you wear it?
Alice.
To me, a corset is like a codfish.
Please, not today.
Father would have laughed.
Her mother hangs her head.
I'm sorry. I'm tired. I didn't sleep well last night.
Did you have bad dreams again?
Only one. It's always the same ever since I can remember. Do you think that's normal? Don't most people have different dreams?
I don't know.
The blonde mother reaches back with her gloved hands, removes a delicate necklace, and drapes it around Alice's neck.
Beautiful. Now, can you manage to smile?
Alice smiles, then resumes gazing glumly out the window. Following a narrow road toward an estate, the carriage passes a tree with a full head of greenery. Later, Alice and her mother hurry past a flower bed. A couple awaits them near a party underway on a lower lawn.
At last, we thought you'd never arrive. Alice, Hamish is waiting to dance with you. Go.
Alice glances at her mother, then obediently proceeds.
You do realize it's well past four. Now everything has to be rushed through.
I am sorry.
Oh, never mind.
The stern noblewoman glances at her husband, then joins her guests.
Forgive my wife. She's been planning this affair for over 20 years.
If only Charles were here.
My condolences. I think of your husband often. He was truly a man of vision. I hope you don't think I've taken advantage of your misfortunes.
Of course not. I'm pleased that you purchased the company.
I was a fool for not investing in his mad venture when I had the chance.
Charles thought so too.
A view of the manor descends to an outdoor dance floor where Alice and Hamish face each other among portly couples. Each partner bows to the other. Alice eyes the red-haired Hamish. Then they stand abreast and bow to an opposing couple. Alice takes Hamish's hand, and they begin a stiff, methodic dance.
Hamish, do you have a tire of Quadrille?
On the contrary, I find it invigorating.
Hamish haughtily accepts the hand of a second young woman to his left. Alice stifles laughter.
Do I amuse you?
No. I had a sudden vision of all the ladies in trousers and the men wearing dresses.
It would be best to keep your visions to yourself. When in doubt, remain silent.
As they continue the quadrille, Alice looks up to the sky and sees geese flying in a V formation. She bumps a passing woman's arm.
Pardon us, sir. Miss Kingsley's distracted today. Where's your head?
I was wondering what it would be like to fly.
Why would you spend your time thinking about such an impossible thing?
Why wouldn't I? My father said he sometimes believed in six impossible things before breakfast.
Hamish sees his mother gesture solicitously.
Come.
He pulls Alice aside, grins, then affects an official air.
Alice, meet me under the gazebo in precisely 10 minutes.
He leaves. Alice faces brunette twins.
We have a secret to tell you.
If you're telling me, then it's not much of a secret.
Perhaps we shouldn't. We decided we should. If we tell her, she won't be surprised.
Will you be surprised?
Not if you tell me. But now you've brought it up, you have to.
No, we don't.
In fact, we won't.
Wonder if your mother knows that you two swim naked in the Havisham's pond.
The twins gape.
You wouldn't.
No, but I would.
She points.
There's your mother right now.
The twins look.
Hamish is going to ask for your hand.
You ruin the surprise.
A woman in lavender nabs Alice.
I could strangle them. Everyone went to so much effort to keep the secret.
Does everyone know?
That's why they will come. This is your engagement party. Hamish will ask you under the gazebo. When you say yes...
But I don't know if I want to marry Hamish.
Who then? You won't do better than a lord.
Nearby, Hamish blows his nose and checks the handkerchief.
You'll soon be 20, Alice. That pretty face won't last forever. You don't want to end up like Aunt Imogen.
The spinster fans herself.
And you don't want to be a burden on the mother, do you?
No.
So, we'll marry Hamish. You'll be as happy as I am with Lowell, and your life will be perfect. It's already decided.
Alice, dear.
Hamish's mother interjects.
I'll leave you to it.
Shall we take a leisurely stroll through the garden? Just you and me?
Now they walk hand in hand alongside white rose bushes.
Do you know what I've always dreaded?
The decline of the aristocracy.
Ugly grandchildren. But you're lovely. You're bound to produce little imbeciles. The gardeners have planted white roses when I specifically asked for red.
You could always paint the roses red.
What an odd thing to say. You should know that my son has extremely delicate digestion.
Rose bushes stir as something scurries under them.
Did you see that?
See what?
It was a rabbit, I think.
Nasty things. I do enjoy setting the dogs on them. If you serve Hamish the wrong foods, he could get a blockage.
The rabbit darts by.
Did you see it that time?
See what?
The rabbit!
Don't shout! Now pay attention. Hamish said you were easily distracted. What was I saying?
Hamish has a blockage.
The rabbit bolts.
I couldn't be more interested, but you'll have to excuse me.
Alice runs after the white rabbit and rounds a tall hedge to find her lonely, aging aunt.
Aunt Imogen.
I think I'm going mad. I keep seeing a rabbit in a waistcoat.
Can't be bothered with your fancy rabbit now. I'm waiting for my fiancé.
She fans herself.
You have a fiancé?
Alice sees more rustling bushes.
There! Did you see it?
He's a prince. But alas, he cannot marry me. Unless he renounces his throne. It's tragic, isn't it?
Very.
She leaves her distracted aunt sitting alone. Reaching an arbor set in a hedge, Alice spies a dark-haired man passionately kissing a young lady.
slower?
Alice, we were just...
The woman slinks off.
Hattie's an old friend.
I can see you're very close.
Look, you won't mention this to your sister, will you?
I don't know. I'm confused. I need time to think.
Well, think about Margaret. She'd never trust me again. You don't want to ruin her marriage, do you?
Me? But I'm not the one who's sneaking around behind her back.
There you are.
Hamish surprises Alice. Now the party guests assemble before a picturesque gazebo. Underneath, Hamish drops to one knee and offers his open hands. Alice takes them and they look into each other's eyes.
Alice Kingsley.
Hamish.
What is it?
You have a caterpillar on your shoulder.
He notices the fat blue worm.
Ew.
He reaches for it.
Don't hurt it.
Alice gently picks up the caterpillar, sets it aside, then faces Hamish again.
You'll want to wash that finger.
Nearby, an artist paints the two of them under the gazebo.
Alice Kingsley.
He smiles, she stares. The guests stand still in their pastel summer clothes.
Will you be my wife?
He beams at her. Breathing heavily, Alice shifts her stance.
Well?
She looks out over her friends and family.
Everyone expects me to.
Hamish glances aside.
And you're a lord. My face won't last. And I don't want to end up like...
She glances at her sad, wrinkled aunt.
But this is happening so quickly.
She lets go of Hamish's hands and faces outward.
I think I...
Hamish's parents look on. Alice notices the white rabbit standing at the corner of a hedge, tapping a pocket watch.
I need a moment.
She hops down and hurries around the hedge, leaving Hamish kneeling alone on the gazebo. Alice chases the white rabbit, who leads her down a wooded trail. She ducks a low tree branch, then bats thinner branches aside. As she follows the leafy path, her swift footfalls pound the dirt. The white rabbit halts by a tree trunk, glances back, checks his watch, and scurries on. Alice scales a hill to the twisted trunk. It's a stump taller than Alice. The girl crouches over a hole at its base. Peering down, the young woman leans close for a good look.
Hello?
The edge gives, and Alice falls headfirst into the pit. The daylit mouth of the hole recedes into the distance as Alice falls past odds and ends of furniture and household items. She bumps a bookshelf, spilling its contents. Plummeting on, Alice flips head over heels and attempts to grab a root, but it breaks. Above her, a falling grand piano plunges her way. Alice gapes, then shields her face from the keyboard, which strums itself. As the piano slips out of view, Alice writhes in free fall, her body rotating. She shoots past more books and clutter and barely ducks her head under a bulky artifact. Now, falling backward, she bounces off a brass bed, which halts her wild descent only briefly. Alice falls through a surface of black and white tile encircled by multiple doors. She lands hard, rolls to her belly, and sits up. Alice sees the lit candles of a chandelier come into focus, upside down. Our view of her alarmed face finds her long blonde hair standing straight up, then rotates to show her kneeling on the ceiling. Alice falls again. She now lies on the black and white diamond-checkered floor. Alice glances around, plants her palms, and rises to her feet. She takes in the dim rotunda, turning in circles at the sight of the many, many doors. She crosses to one and tries the handle. She goes to the next door on her left. She tries a third. She uses both hands on it. A fourth door won't budge either. Alice faces the center of the chamber. As the young woman crosses the room, we peer up the stem of a glass-topped pedestal table, which holds a key. Alice picks it up, then tries unlocking the doors. She inserts the key into one lock and yanks on the knob. She goes to another. She pushes aside a curtain and kneels to a door only 2 feet tall. Alice inserts the key. daylight shines on her curious face. Alice pokes her head through, but her body is too big to fit. She withdraws her head and sits back on the circular floor. The tiny door swings shut. Alice's gaze drifts to a bottle which sits atop the small table. With a curious look, she rises from the floor and heads over. Light shines through the bottle's glass, illuminating the amber liquid inside. Alice sets the key on the table and picks up the bottle. A tag around its neck reads, "Drink me." She removes the cork and sniffs the liquid. She winces, then eyes the drink.
It's only a dream.
Tilting her head back, she takes a long swig, then corks the bottle. She shrinks. As her body grows smaller, her head sinks into her dress, and she gets lost inside its folds of fabric. She peeks out from under the layered skirt of her gown, glances around, then examines herself. Wearing only a loose-fitting full slip, Alice jogs to the tiny door and jiggles its knob. She finds it locked, then turns back to the table in the center of the room and races over. Standing underneath the table's glass top, she spies the key resting above. She raises her arms and jumps. Her hands catch the tabletop a few feet above her, then slip off.
You'd think she would remember all this from the first time.
You've brought the wrong Alice.
She's the right one. I'm certain of it.
Alice tries again and loses her grip. Stepping back, she notices a tiny box at the foot of the table. She crouches beside it and lifts its lid. Inside, she finds a piece of cake. A message written on the spongy square reads, "Eat me." Alice looks up to the key overhead, then shifts her gaze back to the cake. She takes a bite and chews thoughtfully. Setting down the cake, she stands, then furrows her brow as she starts to grow bigger. Her body sprouts upward, surpassing the height of the tabletop and continuing toward the ceiling. As her head passes the chandelier and pushes against the ceiling, Alice slouches and braces her arms against a wall. We watch her through a keyhole.
She's the wrong Alice.
Give her a chance.
Alice stoops and takes the key from the tabletop. Turning it in her now giant fingers, she glances at the tiny door, then uncorks the bottle and guzzles the amber liquid. She cringes. She sets the bottle back on the table. As she straightens, she grows smaller. She looks down to see the checkered floor moving closer. Tilting her head back, she watches the chandelier on the ceiling shrink into the distance. She hurries to the tiny door, her head now only a foot higher than its frame. Unlocking it, she peers through the opening, then steps out into a lush, overgrown garden. The door closes, revealing itself to be part of a freestanding wall at the top of a hill. As Alice heads down some steps, insect-like creatures with long tails flit through the air. She watches them, then moves through the wrought iron gate of a decrepit stone wall. A pale green pig scampers across her path. A tiny rocking horse with wings flies by Alice's head. As she walks deeper into the garden, she swats at two creatures buzzing past. The winged rocking horse rears at a tiny dragon-like creature with wings.
Curiouser.
She comes upon the white rabbit, a dormouse, a dodo bird, pudgy twin boys, and flowers with faces.
I told you she's the right Alice.
I am not convinced.
How is that for gratitude? I've been up there for weeks, trailing one Alice after the next, and I was almost eaten by other animals. Can you imagine? They go about entirely unclothed, and they do their shook'em in public. I had to avert my eyes.
Doesn't look anything like herself.
That's because she's the wrong Alice.
Mm, if she was, she might be. But if she isn't, she ain't. But if she was so, she would be. But she isn't, nohow.
How can I be the wrong Alice when this is my dream?
The pudgy twins frown.
And who are you, if I might ask?
Oh, I'm Tweedledee, he's Tweedledum. Contrary-wise, I'm Tweedledum, he's Tweedledee.
We should consult Absalom.
Exactly. Absalom will know who she is.
I'll escort you.
Hey, it's not been your turn.
The twins each take one of Alice's hands.
Leave off.
Let go!
Are they always this way?
Family trait. Hey, you can both escort her.
Now the Dormouse and the White Rabbit lead the group through a forest of towering mushrooms. Alice walks between the bald brothers.
Who is this Absalom?
He's wise. He's absolute.
He's Absalom.
Standing a full head taller than Alice, the boys simultaneously give her a nod. The Dormouse and the White Rabbit scamper ahead, leading the group further into the forest. With curious eyes, Alice peers at a rising puff of smoke up ahead. The dodo bird uses a cane as he walks behind the twins. They draw closer to a mushroom and find a blue caterpillar sitting on its cap. Smoke billows around its head.
Who are you?
Absalom?
You're not Absalom. I'm Absalom. The question is...
He smokes a hookah pipe.
Who are you?
Alice.
We shall see.
What do you mean by that? I ought to know who I am.
Yes, you ought, stupid girl. Unroll the oraculum.
Alice spots a scroll sitting on a mushroom. The White Rabbit and the Dormouse unroll it.
The oraculum, being the calendrical compendium of Underland.
Alice examines detailed drawings on the long scroll.
It's a calendar.
Compendium. It tells of each and every day since the beginning.
Today is Griblick Day in the time of the Red Queen.
A drawing shows Alice looking at the scroll.
Show her the Frabjous Day.
Mm, yeah, Frabjous being the day you slay the Jabberwocky.
Sorry, slay the what?
Oh, yeah, that being you there with the Vorpal sword. No other swords can kill the Jabberwocky, no how. If it ain't Vorpal, it ain't dead.
Alice inspects the drawing.
That's not me.
I know.
Resolve this for us, Absalom. Is she the right Alice?
Not hardly.
As they leave, the Dormouse turns to the White Rabbit.
I told you.
Oh, dear.
I said so. Contrarywise, you said she might be.
No, you said she would be if she was.
Little imposter, pretending to be Alice. She should be ashamed.
I was so certain of you.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be the wrong Alice. Wait. This is my dream. I'm going to wake up now and you'll all disappear.
Alice closes her eyes and pinches her arm. She winces, then opens her eyes and finds the group still in front of her. Her brow creases.
That's odd. Pinching usually does a trick.
I could stick you if that would help.
It might actually, thank you.
My pleasure.
She stabs her with a needle.
Ow!
A giant bear-like creature bursts into the forest. Alice turns to find the beast opening its jaws, revealing multiple layers of sharp teeth. She runs. As the creature gives chase, the twins leap into the bushes and hide. The others race down a narrow path, but the Bandersnatch closes in. An army of red knights joins the creature in its pursuit. Each wears a rectangular suit of armor, segmented from head to toe, that features a number of black hearts like a playing card. More red knights close in from a different direction. One of them captures the White Rabbit in a net. The dodo bird runs into another and gets knocked backwards. Two knights shackle his legs. The twins race from their hiding spot, and the Dormouse jumps into a hollowed-out log. The Bandersnatch bares its teeth, then leaps after Alice. Dust churns as it lands right behind her. Alice runs a few more feet, then stops abruptly. The Bandersnatch swivels its bulldog-like head.
It's only a dream. Nothing can hurt me.
She turns and defiantly faces the Bandersnatch as it approaches.
What is she doing?
Can't hurt me.
The lumbering creature skids to a stop in front of Alice and lets out a windy roar. The Dormouse scampers over.
Run, you great love!
Using her needle, the Dormouse stabs the Bandersnatch in the eye. She pulls out its eyeball. The Bandersnatch swipes at Alice, scratching her arm, and the young lady races away. The Dormouse leaps from the creature's head and scurries off with the eyeball bobbing atop her raised needle. The pudgy twins hurry after her. The Bandersnatch clutches its empty eye socket as a group of red knights arrives. They watch their prey escape. Now the oraculum lies abandoned on the ground. Two gloved hands pick it up and unroll it. A dark-haired man with a heart-shaped eye patch examines the drawing of Alice slaying the Jabberwocky. He hurriedly mounts a black horse and yanks on its reins. Now Alice runs up a hill and stops at a sign mounted on a dead tree. A curled branch points in one direction like a mangled finger. The sign reads, Snud. Another branch points in the opposite direction with the sign reading, Queest. Tweedledum gives a bewildered look. He grabs Alice's hand.
This way. East to Quist.
No, south to Snud.
No, this way.
A giant bird swoops toward them. It grabs the twins in its talons and carries them off. Alice watches as the bird soars over a field of crooked branches, which smack the boys' faces as they hang upside down. The bird dives into a valley. As it swoops low over the barren ground, Tweedledee and Tweedledum exchange frightened looks. The bird arrives at a castle surrounded by jagged mountains. Pennants fly atop red spires, which pierce the air above ornate white towers. The bird soars over a courtyard, where a hedge pruned like a woman's head guards an entrance. Inside the castle, a petite woman with an unusually large head throws open a set of double doors. A small crown rests on her red hair, which frames her head like a heart. She storms over to a line of uniformed frogs.
Did you steal them?
No, Your Majesty.
Did you?
No, Your Majesty.
Did you steal them?
No, Your Majesty.
She stops at the last foot frog and stares down at him suspiciously. His eyes dart toward hers, then nervously shift to look straight ahead. The angry queen turns away and paces back down the line of tiny valets. The nervous frog's throat bulges as he swallows. The queen turns. From beneath her tall patches of blue eyeshadow, she stares fixedly at the nervous frog. She purses her lips, which are painted at the center in the shape of a heart, and steps in front of him. A group of human courtiers watches as the queen leans toward him.
Did you steal my dogs?
No, Your Majesty.
A trace of juice colors the corner of the frog's mouth. The queen wipes it away with her finger and tastes it.
It's quimberry juice.
I was so hungry! I didn't mean
open
to.
Open his head!
My family.
Two knights drag him off.
No, our little ones to look after.
Go to his house and collect the little ones. I love tadpoles on toast, almost as much as I love caviar.
Yes, Your Majesty.
As she sits in a heart-shaped throne, a fish butler appears.
Drink!
He brings over a tray with a red glass, and the queen sips the drink from a tall straw.
Majesty.
The man with the eye patch kisses the queen's hand.
Ilosevich Stane.
You knave. Where have you been lurking? Majesty, I have found the oracle.
He unfurls it across her lap.
That looks so ordinary for an oracle.
Look here. The fragile stare.
She examines the drawing of Alice and the Jabberwocky.
I'd know that tangled mess of hair anywhere. Is it Alice?
I believe it is.
What's she doing with my darling Jabberwocky?
She appears to be slaying it.
She killed my Jabber baby Wocky!
Not yet, but it will happen if we don't stop her.
Find Alice, Stane! Find her!
Now, Stane addresses a bloodhound.
Find the scented human girl and earn your freedom.
For my wife and pups as well.
Everyone will go home.
A knight removes a leash from the hound's collar. The dog sniffs the ground and lifts his head. He bounds off and a group of knights follows. Stane's horse tilts his head toward his rider.
Dogs will believe anything.
Stane nods. Nighttime. Our view drifts past gnarled tree branches that curl eerily in the fog. Pale light glows on Alice as she wanders through the forest, her eyes cautiously scanning her surroundings. She stops and stares into the hazy distance, then continues on with an anxious look. A trail of mist swirls behind her, then disappears. It reappears on a tree branch and forms into a cat.
It looks like you ran afoul of something with wicked claws.
But I'm still dreaming.
What did that to you?
Banner or bandit?
The Bandersnatch. Well, I'd better have a look.
What are you doing?
It needs to be purified by someone with evaporating skills, or it will fester and putrefy.
I'd rather you didn't. I'll be fine as soon as I wake up.
At least let me bind it for you.
He bandages her arm.
What do you call yourself?
Alice.
The
Alice? He grins broadly.
There's been some debate about that.
I never get involved in politics. You'd best be on your way.
What way? All I want to do is wake up from this dream.
Fine. I'll take you to the Hare and the Hatter. But that's the end of it.
He floats backwards down a path and disappears in a swirl of mist. Alice glances around. The cat rematerializes at the end of the path.
Coming?
As Alice hurries after him, our view glides up the crooked branches of a tree. In the hazy night sky, a sliver of moon like a backward sea rotates downward. Two large turquoise eyes appear above it, creating the face of the Cheshire cat with his ear-to-ear grin. Now, Alice heads toward a decrepit windmill, its sails tattered and bent. In front of it sits a row of tables pushed together. A disheveled hare sleeps with his head on one of them. He awakes. The dormouse emerges from a teapot and stretches. At the end of the row, a man with orange hair stares at Alice from under his top hat. He gives a wide, gap-toothed grin, then climbs onto the tables. As he walks along them, his feet kick over teapots, cups, saucers, and plates of food. He steps off the last table and kneels in front of Alice, who stands only as high as his knee.
It's you.
No, it's not. McTwist brought us the wrong Alice.
It's the wrong Alice.
It's absolutely Alice. You're absolutely Alice. I'd know you anywhere. I'd know him anywhere.
He drags Alice across the table.
Well, as you can see, we're still having tea. And it's all because I was obliged to kill time waiting for your return. You're terribly late, you know.
Naughty.
Well, anyway, time became quite offended and stopped altogether. Not a tick ever since.
The hare stares into a bottomless cup.
Cup. Time can be funny in dreams.
Yes, yes, of course. But now you're back, you see. And we need to get on to the Frabjous Day.
Frabjous Day!
I'm investigating things that begin with the letter M. Have you any idea why a raven is like a writing desk?
Down with bloody big head!
What?
Down with the bloody big head. Bloody big head being the Red Queen.
Come, we simply must commence with the slaying and such. Therefore, it is high time to forgive and forget, or forget and forgive, whichever comes first, or is in any case most convenient. I'm waiting.
He checks the pocket watch.
It's ticking again.
All this talk of blood and slaying has put me off my pee.
The entire world is falling to ruin. Poor Chester's off his tea.
What happened that day was not my fault.
You're an out on him to save your own skin, you godless Scottish pilgrim, shookum juggling, slurking your fault.
Bar no mock, I bring
it! Atta!
Thank you.
Ooh, meow.
I'm fine.
What's wrong with you, Tarrant? You used to be the life of the party. You used to do the best futterwhacken in all of Wits End.
Futter what?
Futterwhacken!
It's a dance.
On the Frabjous Day, when the White Queen once again wears the crown, on that day, I shall futterwhacken vigorously.
The hare's ear perks up.
Oh, no.
He hides behind the cat. They all gaze into the forest.
The knife.
Goodbye.
The cat disappears, exposing the hare.
Drink this quickly.
The Hatter shoves a bottle between Alice's lips. She shrinks in her chair. Thane approaches. The Mad Hatter grabs Alice and shoves her into a teapot, while the March Hare innocently sips his tea.
Mind your head.
He stuffs the fabric of Alice's now too large slip into the pot behind her and replaces the lid. He covertly sets the teapot in his lap, then lifts his gaze to Thane and his group of red knights. Alice bangs on the teapot's lid.
Let me out!
The knave dismounts and strolls toward the tables.
If it's not my favorite trio of lunatics.
Would you like to join us?
You're all late for tea!
He hurls his cup at Thane, who ducks. It hits a knight. Thane approaches the Hatter.
We're looking for the girl called Alice.
Oh, speaking of the Queen, here's a little song we used to sing in her honor.
Twinkle, twinkle little bat, how I wonder where you're at.
Thane grabs the Hatter in a headlock.
If you're hiding her, you'll lose your heads.
Already lost them.
Thane releases him.
All together now.
up above the world you fly, like a tea tray in the sky.
As Dane strides away, the tables shake one by one, moving up to the Mad Hatter. He finds the bloodhound sniffing the teapot in his lap and quickly covers its spout.
Don't we bloody beg it.
The hound meets the Hatter's gaze, then retreats. The hare turns to Stain.
Would you like some game?
The bloodhound takes off into the forest.
The slice of buttonberry.
Follow the bloodhound.
The knights leave.
Sugar?
Yes, please.
She throws it into his cup.
Oh, that's lovely.
You're all mad.
Thanks very much.
Stain hurls his cup to the ground and leaves. The Hatter lifts the teapot's lid, peeks inside, then replaces it.
Pardon.
He lifts it again slightly.
One moment.
Reaching into the pot, he extracts a gossamer strip of fabric from Alice's slip. He deftly tailors it, then smiles proudly at the tiny dress in his hands.
Yes. Try this on the side.
He drops it into the teapot and waits patiently with his hands on the lid. He removes it. He sets Alice on the table and eyes her new dress.
I like it.
Good thing the bloodhound is one of us, or you'd be.
What do they want with me?
Wait a minute. Best take her to the White Queen. She'll be safe there. Spoon.
The Hatter presents his top hat.
Your carriage, my lady.
The hat?
Of course. Anyone can go by horse or rail, but the absolute best way to travel is by hat. Have I made a rhyme?
Alice sits on its brim.
I love travelling by hare.
Melly, just Alice, please.
Fair, far and all.
What do you mean? Wait.
The hare hurls his cup, which the Hatter ducks as he leaves. Now in a dreary forest.
It was brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble on the wave. All mimsy with the burgroves and the moor marths out grave.
Sorry, what was that?
Alice drops from his hat brim.
What was what?
Resting on his shoulder, she stares up at him.
The Jabberwock with eyes aflame, jaws that bite and claws that catch. Beware of the Jabberwock, my son, on the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He lifted it, and with its head, he went galumphing back.
He eyes the tiny young lady.
It's all about you, you know.
Like not slaying anything. I don't slay, so put it out of your mind.
The Mad Hatter halts, his eyes glazing over in a haunted stare.
Mine.
With a disdainful scowl, he plucks Alice from his shoulder, sets her down on a jagged stump, and turns to go.
Wait! You can't leave me here!
He wheels around to face her.
You don't slay. Do you have any idea what the Red Queen has done? You don't slay.
I couldn't if I wanted to.
The Mad Hatter crouches before her.
You're not the same as you were before. And you were much more muchier. You've lost your muchness.
My muchness?
He pokes her stomach.
In there, something's missing.
Tell me what Red Queen has done.
Frowning squeamishly, the Mad Hatter shakes his head.
It's not a pretty story.
Tell me anyway.
He turns away, scanning the mist-veiled landscape. Scorched tree trunks jut from the fog. The charred remains of timber-framed buildings surround them.
It was here. I was Hatter to the White Queen at the time. High top clan have always been employed at court.
He recalls an outdoor festival in a verdant glade. His orange hair long and wavy, the Hatter claps as he happily looks on. Behind him, a beautiful porcelain-skinned woman sits on a white steed. She has platinum hair and dark eyes, and wears a snowy gown and a golden crown. A shadow sweeps over them. As the Hatter looks up, a black dragon-like creature breathes purple lightning, knocking revelers down and setting the woodland village ablaze. Others scatter as the creature attacks again. The queen's crown falls off, and her horse rears up. A maypole crowned by a top hat falls over in flames. The Hatter grabs the reins of the queen's horse. Calming it down, he leads it away. As a girl in a top hat falls, the dragon-like beast spews lightning. A knight disintegrates in the blast, leaving only a gleaming sword, which lodges vertically in the ground. As the village burns, the White Queen rides away, passing the pristine weapon. A hand in a black gauntlet picks it up. its stain. He holds the sword aloft as a building burns behind him. His horse rears, then carries him off at a gallop. Part of the burning structure collapses, and smoke and dust billow upward. In the terrible aftermath, the hatless Hatter rises into view. He stands alone among the fiery ruins, his otherworldly features set in a woeful stare. As flames devour the village and surrounding woods, he paces forward aimlessly. He comes upon his fallen top hat with its broad, rosy ribbon and picks it up off the ground. He eyes it solemnly, then sets it atop his bushy orange hair. As smoke billows behind him, he stares off with a melancholy gaze.
Hatter.
Back with Alice.
I'm fine.
Are you?
The Mad Hatter gazes about.
Did you hear that?
I'm certain I heard something.
What?
Oh, Red Knight!
The Mad Hatter plucks Alice up, hurries from the clearing, and races down a woodland path. Elsewhere, the Bloodhound sniffs the ground as he leads a troop of Red Knights in pursuit. The Mad Hatter nimbly brushes overgrown branches out of his way, then ducks behind a thick tree trunk. The Bloodhound and the Knights race past him. Leaving the hiding spot, the Hatter dashes onward. Reaching the forest's edge, he stops short. A glassy river cuts off his path. The Hatter glimpses the Knights combing through nearby trees. He removes his hat and sets Alice on the brim.
Go south to Trotter's Bottom. The White Queen's castle just beyond. Hold on tight, please.
He flings his hat over the river. It flies like a discus.
Turn with the bloody Red Queen!
He grins defiantly as the hat makes a bouncy landing on the opposite bank. Alice tumbles off and sprawls face down in the dirt. Getting to her feet, she watches helplessly as the Red Knights surround the Mad Hatter and march him back through the forest. The mouse-sized Alice gazes after her captured friend, then scans her surroundings and edges back toward the top hat. She crouches and lifts its brim, flattening a cluster of grass blades beneath. As she crawls inside and lowers it, the grass rises back into place. The young woman settles into the handy shelter. The hat rests on a knoll under a gnarled tree. Now, the sun rises into view, filling the sky with golden light. Under the hat, Alice sleeps curled up on the grass, a shaft of sunlight illuminating her face and arms. She waits as the bloodhound's sniffing nose lifts the hat away. Alice gets to her feet and glares at the dog.
You were supposed to lead them away. The Hatter trusted you.
They have my wife and pups.
What's your name?
Bayard.
Sit.
The Bloodhound obeys.
Would your name be Alice, by any chance?
Yes, but I'm not the one that everyone's talking about.
The Hatter would not have given himself up just for any Alice.
Where did they take him?
To the Red Queen's castle at Salazen Grum.
We're going to rescue him.
That is not foretold.
I don't care. He wouldn't be there if it weren't for me.
The Frabjous Day is almost upon us. You must prepare to meet the Jabberwocky.
From the moment I fell down that rabbit hole, I've been told what I must do and who I must be. I've been shrunk, stretched, scratched, and stuffed into a teapot. I've been accused of being Alice and of not being Alice, but this is my dream. I'll decide where it goes from here.
If you diverge from the path...
I make the path.
Bayard lies down, resting his head on the ground. Alice climbs his snout to the top of his head. She picks her way over his spiked collar, faces forward, and straddles his shoulders.
Take me to Salazen Grum, Bayard. And don't forget the hat.
Bayard picks up the hat in his teeth, then takes off at a gallop. The dog rushes over a path alongside the winding river with impressive speed. On his shoulders, Alice clings to his collar's leash ring while her long blonde curls bounce against her back. Bayard reaches a vast, barren plain ringed with trees. Alice rides fearlessly as the bloodhound takes her over the rugged, parched terrain. Their path takes them through a dried river gorge between jagged mountains. As they reach the other end, the queen's castle looms ahead, its many turrets capped with sharp, narrow spires. Alice blinks at the massive structure as the dog slows beneath her. They arrive at a moat littered with severed heads. The young woman climbs down from her canine mount.
Do
There's only one way across.
Alice steps closer to the water, peering at the dead, ashen faces floating here and there.
Lost my muchness, have I?
With a courageous scowl, she leaps from the bank, landing on the nearest head. Alice picks her way over the face, then jumps onto the next head, landing on all fours. Standing, she clambers over the lifeless features, then hops onto another head. Her foot dips into its open mouth as she scrambles along. She tugs it out and shakes clear, slimy liquid from her shoe. The young woman trots over to the next head, then leaps to the opposite shore. Jogging ahead, she stares up at a stone wall blocking access to the castle. It towers high above her, and a single brick is twice her height. Alice discovers a chink between two lower blocks, peers through, then looks across the moat toward the friendly bloodhound.
Bayard, the hat!
She raises an arm, prompting him. The bloodhound nips the hat in his teeth, turns a circle, and lets go. The hat arcs high over the castle wall and lands on an inner hedge. Alice darts through the chink in the wall. Reaching a stately garden, she wanders through waist-high grass, then takes cover behind a bush. Ahead, the dodo pulls a live flamingo from a caddy slung over his shoulder and presents it to the Red Queen. Her courtiers look on.
Your Majesty.
She takes the flamingo by its long, thin legs. Wincing slightly, Alice watches the Queen lower the bird like a croquet mallet, aiming at a hedgehog tied into a ball.
So sorry.
With a swing and hit, the Queen sends the hedgehog flying in Alice's direction. A man with an enormous belly applauds, as do a beak-nosed woman and a courtier with huge double chins.
Splendid shot.
Alice rushes to the hedgehog and starts to untie it.
Where's my ball? Paige!
Yes, Your Majesty.
The white rabbit scampers off.
I want to help you.
Alice removes the hedgehog's bindings. Turning, Alice sees the rabbit hopping over.
Well, if it isn't the wrong Alice.
The hedgehog flees.
What brings you here?
I've come to rescue the Hatter.
Oh, you're not rescuing anyone being the size of a gerbil.
Would he have any more of that cake that made me grow before?
Apfelkuchen. Actually, I might have some left.
Across the lawn, the Red Queen waits presidingly, then heads after her page. The rabbit hands Alice a bit of frosted cake. She takes two big bites.
Not all of it.
She drops it.
Oh, no, stop.
She sprouts upward.
Don't do that.
Paige! The Red Queen marches closer.
Oh, dear.
Alice stands as tall as the castle wall. A barrier of creeping rose vines protects her modesty.
And what is this?
It's a who, Majesty. This is,
From Umbridge.
What happened to your clothes?
I outgrew them. I've been growing an awful lot lately. I tower over everyone in Umbridge. They laugh at me. So I've come to you, hoping you might understand what it's like.
My dear girl, anyone with a head that large is welcome in my court. Someone find her some clothes. Use the curtains if you must, but clothe this enormous girl.
Later, the Queen marches to her heart-shaped throne. Alice accompanies her, clad in a red and white frock with a ruffled skirt. The Queen sits.
I need a pig here.
A pig dashes before her and flops onto its back. She rests her feet on its belly.
I love a warm pig belly for my aching feet. Would you like one,
No, thank you.
Sit.
A monkey behind Alice helps to hold up a seat cushion.
Sit!
She reluctantly obeys, and the little monkey struggles to support her.
Go away!
Her sycophantic courtiers bow and curtsy, then depart.
Where are my fat boys? You must meet them.
Fat boys!
The Tweedles shuffle toward the throne.
Oh, there they are. Aren't they adorable? They have the oddest way of speaking. Speak, boys. Amuse us.
Each bears a heart shape on his brow. They gesture awkwardly to each other, then notice Alice, who discreetly shakes her head.
Speak!
One of them frowns.
Is that being...
No, it is not a bit, no.
And Jerry was, I believe it's so.
No, it ain't so nohow.
The Tweedles hit each other.
I love my fat boys. Now, get out.
They face Alice again, and she gives another discreet shake of the head. The Tweedles head out, sullenly kicking and slapping each other. As they step out of view, Alice frowns after them. Now, Stain emerges from behind a heavy red curtain beside the throne. The Red Queen holds her hand out to him. As he kisses it, she gazes adoringly at him. Stane takes his place beside the throne, then notices Alice. Slouching, she coolly avoids his gaze.
And who is this lovely creature?
Alice sneaks a glance.
My new favorite.
Does she have a name?
I believe your name has slipped the queen's mind.
Her name is Idiot! From Umbridge. Any luck with the prisoner?
He's stubborn.
You're too soft. Bring him!
Two monkeys open a pair of tall doors at the opposite end of the hall, revealing the Mad Hatter surrounded by red knights. Shackles bind his hands. The queen roughly kicks the pig away as the knights march the prisoner before the throne. Staring at the floor, the Hatter drops to his knees before the queen. His listless gaze finds Alice, who shoots him a gentle, encouraging smile.
We know Alice has returned to Underland. Do you know where she is?
Stane watches the Hatter keenly.
I've been considering things that begin with the letter M. Moron. Mutiny. Murder. Mallet.
We're looking for an A word now. Where is Alice?
Who's that wee little boy? I wouldn't know.
What if I take off your head? Will you know then? Stop that.
He clams up.
What a regrettably large head you have. I should very much like to hat it.
Hat it?
Yes. I used to have the white queen, you know. Wasn't very much to work with, poor dear. Her head is so small.
It's tiny. It's a pimple of a head.
But this. What I could do with this monument. This orb. Nay, this magnificently heroic glow.
Standing, he approaches her with an admiring smile.
What could you do?
He ruefully holds out his shackled hands.
Unbind him, Stane.
The knave hesitates.
How can he work if his hands are bound?
Alice frowns reproachfully. The prisoner faces Stane, who draws his sword and slices through the chains in a single stroke. The Hatter circles the queen.
Well then, shall it be a bonnet or a botar? Or something for the boudoir? Cloche, dunce hat, death cap, coif, snood babouche, pougree, yarmulke, cockle hat, hawk pie, tam o' shanter, billy cock, bicorn, tricorn, bandeau, bomb grace, fantail, nightcap, garibaldi fez.
Hatter!
Fez.
The queen stares coldly at him, glances at Stane, then faces forward.
Leave us!
She smiles at the Hatter, who replies in kind. Now, Bayard races down a gravel road bordered by pink flowering trees. The road leads to a pearly gray palace where the White Queen and her court walk a marble esplanade.
The trees seem sad. Have you been speaking with them?
Yes, Your Majesty. Perhaps a bit more kindly.
The Queen spots Bayard, then faces her pale white-haired followers.
Would you all excuse me for a moment?
Thank you.
As the courtiers disperse, she glides gracefully toward the dog. Once out of their sight, she abandons her regal air, runs to the bloodhound, and crouches before him.
What news, Bayard?
Alice has returned to Underland.
Where is she now?
In Salazan Grom. Forgive me. I allowed her to divert from her destined path.
No. But that is exactly where she will find the Vorpal Sword. We have our champion. Rest now. Has done well.
She affectionately scratches his head. Bayard flops down, resting his muzzle on her snowy skirt. Now, in the Red Queen's garden, Alice wanders past the hedge pruned in the monarch's likeness. The hedgehog scurries over and calls up to her. Alice leans attentively.
Have you seen a hat around here?
The little animal nods and points. Following its gaze, Alice finds the top hat sitting at the base of a hedge. She picks it up and brushes it off. At night, lightning flashes. The Red Queen paces a torchlit chamber by an open balcony.
You must find Alice, Stane. Without the Jabberwocky, my sister's followers will surely wise against me.
She steps out on the balcony.
My ugly little sister. Why do they adore her, but not me?
I cannot fathom it.
The rabbit peeks in.
You are far superior in all ways.
I know. But Moana can make anyone fall in love with her.
Monkeys bear the scroll.
Men.
The rabbit hops over.
Women.
The queen glances at the animals supporting her tables and chairs.
Even the furniture.
The hiding rabbit watches her and Stane.
Even the king.
The knave peers over the balcony's edge. Following his gaze, the queen eyes one of the heads floating in the moat.
prepared to do it, you would have left me.
The rabbit glances at the tabletop.
Majesty.
He peeks out at the queen and knave.
Is it not better to be feared than loved?
The rabbit swipes the oraculum.
Not certain anymore.
The queen bats her eyes at Stain.
Oh, let her have the rebel. I don't need them. I have you.
She hugs him girlishly, pressing her cheek to his stomach. The rabbit edges back, glances cautiously at the door, then scrambles out. Locked in the queen's embrace, Stain looks away with a sickened shudder. Now, the Hatter works in a chamber with stained glass windows. Alice enters, towering over her friend, and beams at his work.
They're wonderful.
All sorts of hats stand on display.
You must let me try one on.
It is good to be working at my trade again.
He turns his sewing machine's crank.
It's just a pity you have to make them for her.
The Hatter's smile fades. His arm slows to a stop and he shifts his anguished gaze.
What is the Hatter with me? Hatter.
Frowning to himself, he stands. Stepping away, he knocks a hat aside, then attacks several others. Held to the table by an ankle shackle, he violently swings his arms.
Hatter!
Alice cups his face in her giant hands.
Have you any idea why a raven is like a writing desk? I'm frightened, Alice. I don't like it in here. It's terribly crowded.
Under Alice's compassionate gaze, he works his pink lips.
Have I gone mad?
Alice presses a hand to his chalky brow, then lowers it to his cheek again.
I'm afraid so. You're entirely bonkers. But I'll tell you a secret. All the best people are.
She beams softly at him. The Hatter stares, then smiles, his green eyes glistening.
Here.
She sets the top hat on his head, tugging it snug over his bushy hair.
That's better. You look yourself again.
He gazes up at her with a calm, happy grin.
Hat man, where are my hats? I'm not a patient monarch.
I told you keep the Vorpal sword hidden in the castle. The rabbit will help you. Find it, Alice. Take it to the White Queen.
We'll go to the White Queen together.
Why is it you're always too small or too tall?
Alice grins at her friend. Now she enters a crimson corridor, peers down one end, then heads the other way. Reaching an intersection, she turns right and finds the Tweedles posted at a doorway.
Tweedles!
Alice! How do you do again?
Where's the rabbit?
How is it you've been so great big? She ain't great big, this is how she normally is. I'm certain she's smaller when we met.
No, she drank the piss salver to get through the door, recall it? Oh, yeah.
Where's the rabbit?
Over there.
They point in opposite directions. Now they lead her down the labyrinthine corridors together. Turning, they meet the White Rabbit and the Dormouse.
What are you doing here?
I'm rescuing the Hatter.
I'm rescuing the Hatter!
He told me that the Vorpal sword is hidden in the castle. Help me find it.
I don't take orders from big, clumsy, galumping...
Shoo!
As the mouse marches off, the White Rabbit anxiously wrings his forepaws.
What does it make, Twisp?
I know where the sword is.
Now, the White Rabbit shows Alice a small stone building across a courtyard.
The sword's hidden inside.
The giant young lady steps forth.
Be careful, Alice.
She clenches her wounded arm as she strides past stained glass windows featuring red hearts. Lightning flashes on the damp courtyard.
I know that smell.
She peers through a gap in the building's gate. Inside, the Bandersnatch sleeps beside a scattering of bones. Alice turns back toward the White Rabbit.
I'm not going in there.
She removes her bandage.
Look what that thing did to my arm.
Dear, dear. Why haven't you mentioned this?
Wasn't this bad before?
She wraps it back over her inflamed scratches. The White Rabbit faints onto his back with his feet sticking up in the air. Alice takes another peek at the Bandersnatch, then hurries off. Now the Dormouse pushes open a pair of doors and sniffs around.
Hatter! Where are you? Hatter!
Alice arrives.
Malyomkin, do you still have the Bandersnatch, child?
Right here.
I need it.
Come and get it.
She brandishes her sword, but Alice easily swipes the eye.
Give it back.
Now the giant young lady pushes open a set of doors and strides down a corridor. As Stain catches up to her, she conceals the Bandersnatch's eyeball behind her back. The knave pins her to a wall.
I like you,
A large-eared lady spies on them.
I like largeness.
Get away from me.
She pushes him off and hurries out. As he glares after her, the large-eared lady smirks from behind her hiding place, now at the stone stable. As Alice opens the gate and enters, the Bandersnatch awakens.
I have your eye.
She crouches before the furious creature and rolls it the eyeball. The Bandersnatch slaps a paw over it. Alice recoils to her feet, standing slightly hunched, so as to keep her head from hitting the ceiling. The Bandersnatch looks away from her and rolls its eye along the floor. She carefully sidles past the beast and feels her way around a draped cloth to discover a chest underneath. The Bandersnatch plops its eye back into its socket. Alice's hand glides over the lid of the chest, past elaborate metalwork depicting battle scenes, to a sealed padlock. As the Bandersnatch lumbers closer, she frantically tugs on the lock to no avail, then plops down beside the chest. Unwrapping her bandage, she inspects the inflamed red gashes on her arm. She slouches defeatedly in the corner. Staring at her closely, the Bandersnatch settles down on its haunches. Alice looks once more toward her wound, then nods off with her head in her arm. Meanwhile, in the throne room, the Mad Hatter sets a peculiar hat consisting of a swan's face, neck, and back on the Red Queen's head.
No.
A monkey hands him a stovepipe hat, and he tries it on the queen.
You look stunning in that hat.
Yes. Next.
He tries on a feathery hat that covers her face.
Your Majesty has never looked better.
Another.
He sets it aside, and the monkey hands him the next one, which he places on the queen's head. As the flattering woman admires it, her large fake nose falls off.
I don't wish to alarm you, but it smells as though you might have dropped something.
Noticing the man with the ridiculously large belly, he points and laughs. The gentleman chuckles along self-consciously. The woman holds her fake nose in place on her face.
Oh, never mind him. He's mad. Come along.
The large-eared lady arrives and whispers to Her Highness. The Red Queen's eyes and mouth widen. Our view sinks away from her tower in the castle as night turns to day. In the stable, Alice awakens to find the Bandersnatch's massive face looming in front of her. She recoils as the creature lazily slaps its jaws together. Noticing a key dangling from the Bandersnatch's chain collar, she reaches for it gingerly. She quickly draws her hand back, then tries again. As she manages to retrieve the key, the Bandersnatch backs away and briefly displays its mouthful of sharp teeth. It sticks out a tongue several feet long and licks the wound on Alice's arm. The redness goes away. The Bandersnatch wets its chops and gives Alice a gentle look. As she eyes the scabbed scratch marks on her arm, the creature snarls sedately.
I suppose this makes us even now.
Alice turns to the chest, fits the key in the padlock, and opens the lid. Inside, she finds the gleaming Vorpal sword laid out on red velvet lining. Its guard and grip coil in vine-like patterns, and pale oval jewels inlaid in gold run down the side of the blade. Alice picks up the Vorpal sword and examines it closely. The Bandersnatch lumbers backwards on its large bear-like legs, then turns away. Alice exits with the sword. Glancing back, she sees the Bandersnatch settle down on its haunches, then runs off. Now, in the throne room, Stane prostrates himself before the Red Queen.
Unforced herself on me. I told her, my heart belongs to you. She's obsessed with me.
The ruler narrows her eyes at him, her face turning beet red. She springs to her feet.
Over the head!
Meanwhile, the Dormouse tries to pick the Mad Hatter's shackles.
Stand back, Meliumkin.
Alice lifts her sword.
How's this for muchness?
No, no, it mustn't be used for anything.
The doors swing open.
Arrest that girl for unlawful seduction!
Hatter!
Two red guards advance into the room.
Take it to the White Queen!
I'm not leaving without you.
Go!
He unfurls a pair of fabric scrolls, knocking the knights off their feet, then flings his sombrero. Stain slashes it apart. The Mad Hatter lunges for a dressmaker's mannequin, but his ankle chain gets caught. The Dormouse frees it, and he grabs the mannequin just in time to block the knave's sword. The two fight their way over to a makeup table. The Mad Hatter flings powder into Stain's eyes, then grabs a perfume bottle and climbs atop a chair. The Dormouse claps her hands over her mouth.
Alice.
Run!
As Alice flees, he spritzes perfume into Stain's good eye. The blinded knave points after the young lady.
Seize her!
Alice escapes into the courtyard, followed closely by a dozen red guards. More of the knights fan out in front of her, cutting her off from the stable. Surrounded, she brandishes her sword.
Alice!
Stain comes out.
Of course, why didn't I see it? Well, it has been a long time, and you were such a little tyke then. Give me the sword.
Stay back.
The queen will be so pleased. She will take great pleasure in taking off your head.
Two red guards grab Alice by her arms. The Bandersnatch barrels through their ranks. Alice climbs astride its back. It plows through more red guards as it races out of the castle grounds through a heart-shaped gate, then bounds across a bridge. Bayard steps out from behind a rock.
Oh, Alice!
Bayard, to Malmoriel!
The hound races alongside the Bandersnatch, whose kangaroo-like tail slaps against the dirt as it runs off down the road. Meanwhile...
Majesty, Alice has escaped.
The Red Queen gives Stain a hard slap across his scarred cheek.
On the Bandersnatch.
She smacks him on the other cheek.
With the Vorpal Sword.
She strikes him once more on the scarred side.
How could you let this happen?
I may have underestimated her, but we have her conspirators, the Hatter and a Dormouse.
Off for their heads!
Now, Alice rides the Bandersnatch through groves of pink blossoming cherry trees. The setting sun flares as Bayard leads the way toward a castle. Later, attendants in pale attire look on as the still oversized Alice strides across a frosty white throne room to the White Queen.
Welcome to Memorial.
I believe this belongs to you.
She presents the monarch with the Vorpal Sword. The White Queen turns it upward and runs her hand down along the blade. She beholds the exquisite weapon, then smiles up at Alice, who beams.
The Vorpal Sword is home again. The armor is complete.
She lays the sword across the hands of a suit of armor.
Now all we need is a champion. You're a little taller than I thought you'd be.
Blame it on too much, Apple Kitchen.
Oh, come with me.
Now the White Queen opens a set of vaulted doors and gracefully ducks a flying bowl of green soup.
There's a march hare here.
Gay! You're late for your soup, you
Alice tastes the splattered soup.
We could use some salt.
The hare hurls a salt shaker at her. Dodging it, Alice follows the Queen to a table covered with bottles of varying size and shape.
Fish or bellet, me gill, a pinch of worm fat.
She pours ingredients into a copper cone.
Urine of the horse blood?
Alice's eyes widen.
Buttered fingers.
The queen sniffs a severed finger, gags, then adopts a halcyon smile as she drops it in.
My sister preferred to study dominion over living things.
She adds another buttered finger.
Tell me, how does she seem to you? Perfectly horrid. And her...
She gestures uneasily.
Head... bulbous. I think she may have some kind of growth in there, something pressing on her brain. 3 coins from a dead man's pocket. 2 teaspoons of wishful thinking. You can't imagine the things that go on in that place. Oh, yes, I can. But when a champion steps forth to slay the Jabberwocky, the people will rise against her.
The queen spits into the potion.
That should do it.
She pours the steaming brew into a large wooden spoon and holds it out.
Blow.
Alice blows on the potion, then sips it from the spoon and stands. With a smile, the queen sets the spoon aside and flounces around the table. Alice shrinks down to her normal size, clutching her suddenly oversized dress to her chest.
Feel better? Much, thank you. There's someone here who would like to speak with you.
The White Queen leads Alice out to a misty garden path. She gracefully extends a hand, then departs. Clad in a simple blue coat over a tunic and pants, Alice follows the path. She passes between rows of graceful sculptures and finds the blue caterpillar puffing on a hookah pipe.
Absalom?
Who are you?
He blows smoke in her face.
I thought we'd settled this. I'm Alice, not that one.
How do you know?
You said so yourself.
I said you were not hardly Alice, but you're much more her now. In fact, you're almost Alice.
Even so, I couldn't slay the Jabberwocky if my life depended on it.
It will. So I suggest you keep the Vorpal Sword on hand when the Frapture's Day arrives.
You seem so real. Sometimes I forget that this is all a dream.
He blows more smoke in her face.
Will you stop doing that?
The swirling smoke thickens, hiding the caterpillar from view. Now, in the Red Queen's dungeon, the Hatter sits on the floor of his cell, his back to the door and his hat at his side. In another cell, a golden bloodhound rests with a litter of pups. The Cheshire Cat appears outside the Hatter's cell.
I've always admired.
He lounges across the bars.
Hello, Chess.
Since you won't be needing it anymore...
He wafts through the bars and sits on it.
Would you consider bequeathing it to me?
How dare you?
It is a formal execution. I would like to look my best, you know.
There's a pity about all this. I was looking forward to seeing you futterwacken.
I was rather good at it, was I not?
I really do love that hat. I would wear it to all the finest occasions.
Now, from her balcony, the Red Queen overlooks her crowded courtyard, where an executioner waits on a heart-shaped platform.
I love a morning execution, don't you?
Yes, Your Majesty.
She gives a small nod. In the courtyard, Stain removes one of his black gauntlets and holds it up. From her balcony throne, the Queen turns. The White Rabbit hops out from behind the Queen's subjects, his gaze anxious. The Hatter's copper-hued shoes tramp out, followed by the shackled Dormouse. With his hat atop his bowed head, the condemned man passes Stain. The knave looks up to the Queen, who coldly watches the Hatter climbing the platform steps. The Dormouse follows. Kneeling before a vaguely heart-shaped chopping block, the Hatter bends forward and sets his neck within the semicircular notch at the top. The hooded executioner steps forward and reaches for the condemned man's hat.
I'd like to keep it on.
Suit yourself, as long as I can get at your neck.
He moves the hat's ribbon aside and raises an axe.
Right behind you.
Off with his head!
I can't watch.
The rabbit hides his eyes. Covering each other's eyes, the Tweedles both peek, then hide their eyes again. Under the poised axe, the condemned Hatter grins. As the executioner swings his axe, the Hatter vanishes, and his hat floats up in the air. The rabbit peeks questioningly, and the Red Queen stares. The hat soars high above the courtyard as Stain and the Tweedles look on with the others. The executioner gives a bewildered shrug. The hat flips right side up, and the Cheshire Cat's grinning head appears beneath it.
Good morning, everyone.
Chess, you dog.
The real Hatter emerges on the balcony.
Madam, you are being heinously bamboozled by these lick-spittle toadies you surround yourselves with.
Stain runs inside. The Hatter rips a fake, oversized ear off of a courtier's head.
What is that? I'm not the only one, Majesty. Look!
A counterfeit nose. You should be ashamed.
Me? What about that big belly you're so proud of?
The jowly courtier's triple chins fall off. The fellow tears off a woman's fake cleavage.
Liars! Cheats! Falsifiers! Off with their heads!
The Hatter grabs hold of a flagpole and rides it as it bends down to the execution platform.
The abused and enslaved in the Red Queen's court. All of you, stand up and fight. Rise up against the bloody Red Queen.
The Hatter turns, staring up at her.
Hello!
The monkeys and frogs leap jubilantly while the Tweedles applaud. The Hatter grins defiantly at the tyrant.
Release the Jab-Jab Bird!
Atop a high tower, two knights open a cage. One yanks blinders off an enormous long-necked bird. The Hatter recoils as it steps out and spreads its black and white striped wings. It dives, its red spiky crest flattened against its head. As the crowd scatters, the Tweedles hide in a doorway. Stane joins the queen in time to watch the bird snatch up a man in its talons.
You're right, Stane. It is far better to be feared than loved.
The bird drops its captive. It grabs for the Hatter, but he ducks its talons.
Come, boys, quickly, quickly, come on.
The Tweedles run toward him as the bird snatches up a woman.
Hatter!
Come on, Melly, quickly.
She scurries into his hands and he carries her away.
Prepare the Jabberwocky for battle. We're going to visit my little sister.
At the White Queen's castle, the fair monarch gazes out from a balcony. Beside her, Alice leans wistfully on the marble railing. Bayard lopes out, joining them.
I had hoped to have a champion by now.
Alice looks up at the White Queen.
Why don't you slay the Jabberwocky yourself? You must have the power.
It is against my vows to harm any living creature.
She swats at a glowing bug as it passes her face, then does a mincing twirl to a mounted spyglass. She peers through the eyepiece.
We have company.
As she glides indoors, Alice has a look. The Hatter, the Tweedles, the Dormouse, the Rabbit, and the Bloodhound family approach. Alice removes the spyglass from its mount.
Have a look, Bayard.
She lowers it to his face. He spots the Golden Hound and her pups.
Bayard.
The White Queen, Alice, and Bayard go out to meet the newcomers. The dogs reunite, and the Tweedles run to the Queen, and Alice greets the Hatter.
So happy to see you. I thought they were going
so
to.
So did I, but they didn't. And now here I am, still in one piece. And I'm rather glad about that now.
The Queen kisses away the hearts on the Tweedles' foreheads.
I'm not seeing you again, especially now that you're you and the proper size. And it's a good size, it's a great size, it's the right proper Alice size.
Hatter.
Size, Fez. I'm fine.
Where's your hat?
It floats down before the Hatter. The Cheshire Cat appears and hands it over with a kind grin.
Cheshire.
How's the arm, love?
All healed.
Goodbye, sweet.
His feline form vanishes in a vapor. Now, as a full moon gleams over the White Queen's castle, Alice leans on a balustrade, gazing at the moonlit clouds in the night sky. The Mad Hatter approaches from behind. He joins Alice and sets his hat on the railing.
Have you any idea why? A raven is like a writing desk.
Let me think about it.
You know what tomorrow is, don't you?
Frabjous day, how could I forget? Wish I'd wake up.
You still believe this is a dream, do you?
Of course. This has all come from my own mind.
Which would mean that I'm not real.
Afraid so. You're just a figment of my imagination. I would dream up someone who's half mad.
Yes, yes. But you would have to be half mad to dream me up.
It must be, then.
They share a smile. Alice glances off, then looks up at him again.
Miss you when I wake up.
As the grinning Hatter peers off, his delighted expression sours. From behind, we watch the two of them at the railing, gazing at the moonlit clouds. Daytime. The White Rabbit blows a horn before the White Queen's court.
Who will step forth to be champion for the White Queen?
The Hatter steps up.
That would be I.
The Cheshire Cat appears over his shoulder.
You have very poor evaporating skills. I should be the one.
I'll do it.
No, me. No, me.
The White Queen shares a glance with the rabbit. He opens the oraculum, which rolls all the way down a set of steps to the foot of the crowd. The Tweedles step forward to view the illustration of the Jabberwocky closing in on Alice, who wields the Vorpal sword.
No other slayer, no how. If it ain't Alice, it ain't dead.
White Queen wags her finger, and Alice shares a glance with the Mad Hatter.
Alice, you cannot live your life to please others. The choice must be yours. Because when you step out to face that creature, you will step out alone.
Alice eyes the Tweedles, who swap a look. She backs away from the ogling court, then shares a glance with the White Queen. Alice runs off. The Mad Hatter and the Cheshire Cat look on disappointedly, and the Queen lowers her melancholy gaze. Alice hurries to a balustrade, beyond which lie majestic waterfalls flowing over high cliffs in the distance. She paces left and right with her head down, then sits on a stone bench.
Nothing was ever accomplished with tears.
Absalom?
He hangs in a chrysalis.
Why are you upside down?
I've come to the end of this life.
You're going to die.
Transform.
Don't go. I need your help. I don't know what to do.
I can't help you if you don't even know who you are, stupid girl.
I'm not stupid. My name is Alice. I live in London. I have a mother named Helen and a sister named Margaret. My father was Charles Kingsley. He had a vision that stretched halfway around the world, and nothing ever stopped him. I'm his daughter. I'm Alice Kingsley.
Alice, at last. You were just as dim-witted the first time you were here. You called it Wonderland, as I recall.
Wonderland.
She remembers.
What do you call yourself?
Alice.
Z. I'll take you to the Hare and the Hatter.
But that's the end. She's the right one. I'm certain of it.
The 6-year-old Alice has a tea party with her friends.
I'm absolutely stupid girl.
And what is this?
In the Red Queen's garden, the girl paints white roses red.
You think she would remember all this from the first time?
It wasn't a dream at all. It was a memory. This place is real. So are you, and so is the Hatter.
And the Jabberwocky. Remember, the Vorpal Sword knows what it wants. All you have to do is hold on to it. Fair faring, Alice. Perhaps I will see you in another life.
The chrysalis closes over his blue face. Alice watches emotionally. Now, carried by her minions, the Red Queen rides a sedan chair alongside Stane, who rides on horseback. They lead an army of red knights away from her castle. Meanwhile, standing with the Tweedles, the White Rabbit, the Mad Hatter, the March Hare, and Bayard, the White Queen fusses with her horse's reins. She gazes past the ranks of her pale-suited knights to the castle entrance. With a disappointed look, she pets her horse's snout. She and the Mad Hatter suddenly turn toward the castle again. The rows of knights move aside as the Bandersnatch gallops out with Alice on its back. The Mad Hatter grins. The White Queen steps forward. The Dormouse climbs up on Bayard's head for a better look. As the Bandersnatch approaches, the Queen ascends a stepping stool to mount her horse. Alice rides up beside her, wearing the suit of armor. She and the Queen share valiant smiles. The Queen looks ahead and snaps her reins. The friends set off, leading their army through the grove of pink-blossomed cherry trees. Carrying battle pikes, the knights march in lockstep. Now, in her sedan, the Red Queen leads her procession through her dreary realm. The red knights march in lockstep up a hill. Near a body of water, the opposing armies arrive at a tiled floor that resembles a massive chessboard. Ragged, bare trees surround its outskirts. The White Queen and her allies halt, and she gracefully steps down from her horse. Stane dismounts from his steed and takes his ruler's hand. The Red Queen steps down from her sedan, and the two regal sisters approach each other. Alice dismounts from the Bandersnatch and moves up beside her friends to watch. The two armies stand ready on either side of the battlefield as their leaders move toward the center. With the White Rabbit presiding, the two queens face off.
Hello, Erasabeth. Hello. Miwana.
On this, the frabjous day, the queens, red and white, shall send forth their champions to do battle on their behalf.
Arasi, we don't have to fight.
She bats her eyes.
I know what you're doing. You think you can blink those pretty little eyes, and I'll melt just like Mummy and Daddy did.
The White Queen reaches out.
Please.
No! It is my crown! I am the eldest! Jabberwocky!
Her troops begin to break formation. The Red Queen glares at her sister as they back away from each other. Our view floats through the parting Red Knights toward some ruins. The White Rabbit drops his horn and runs off. We float off the tiled floor and past a toppled pillar toward a cluster of ragged trees. The frightened March Hare hides behind the Cheshire Cat, who evaporates. We drift low over the ground through the twisted, hulking trees. One stirs, revealing its upper crossed branches to be wingtips. The startled Tweedles gape. The giant black dragon extends each of its wings, then flares its head. Alice and the Mad Hatter gawk at the monster.
This is impossible.
Only if you believe it is.
The dragon hops down and stalks toward them, jabbing the ground with talons atop its wings.
Sometimes I believe as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast.
That is an excellent practice. However, just at the moment, you really may want to focus on the Jabberwocky.
As the dragon stomps onward, crushing every tree in its path, the Red Queen gives her sister a smug look.
Where's your champion, sister?
Alice steps forth.
Here.
She holds the Vorpal sword and a shield.
Hello.
A wind blows through Alice's blonde hair. The Red Queen glances back to watch the Jabberwocky arrive, then eyes Alice, who marches forward. Its red eyes glowering, the dragon flares its webbed ear flaps and roars.
6 impossible things. Count them, Alice.
The Red Queen admires her long-necked beast as it stomps forward.
1. There's a potion that can make you shrink.
Alice faces off with the towering dragon.
2. The cake that can make you grow.
So, we meet on the battlefield once again.
We've never met.
Not you, insignificant bearer. My ancient enemy, the Vorpal One.
That's enough chatter.
She slices off his forked tongue, causing the White Queen to retch. The dragon spins and whips Alice down with his tail.
3. Animals can talk.
The Jabberwocky raises his foot, but Alice rolls away before he can crush her.
Oh, Alice.
She gets to her feet and faces her foe.
Cats can disappear.
She swipes her sword at the creature.
5.
Alice blocks with her shield as he shoots purple lightning from his mouth.
There's a place called Wonderland.
The Jabberwocky cranes his neck.
6. I can slay the Jabberwocky.
She attacks and the dragon backs away. He swipes at her with a talon, which she ducks. She darts through his legs. As the Jabberwocky turns, Alice slashes wildly. Another swipe from the dragon knocks her off her feet and sends her flying. Her sword lands over 10 feet away. The Hatter steps forward. Alice stares at the distant Vorpal sword. As the dragon approaches her, the Hatter stabs his tail with his own sword. The tail swings at him and he ducks.
That is interfering! Off with his head!
Drawing his sword, Stain leads the Red Knights forward. The Hatter drops his hat, raises his broadsword, and advances to meet them. Retrieving her weapon, Alice dashes up a crumbling stairway, followed by the Jabberwocky. On the tiled floor, the red and white armies clash. On the stairs, Alice stops short at a sprawling gap. Seeing her foe draw near, she leaps across and races onward until she reaches the ruins of a pavilion. The young heroine turns, scanning her surroundings. On the battlefield, one Tweedle stands on the other's shoulder, wielding a sword as the two fight as one. Bayard charges with a Dormouse riding on his back. As the Jub-Jub bird swoops toward them, the tiny warrior throws her needle-sized sword. It pierces the bird's eye, causing it to make a rough landing. The Bandersnatch barrels into a column of red knights, knocking them down. The domino effect reaches a group of knights stacked up like a house of cards, causing them to topple and triggering a catapult. It hurls a boulder through the air, which lands on the Jub-Jub bird's head. Elsewhere, Stain and the Hatter swing their weapons at each other, each dodging and parrying the other's attacks. In the open pavilion, Alice backs toward the edge, holding her Vorpal sword ready. She looks around but finds no sign of her foe. Turning, she finds the Jabberwocky rising behind her and flees. The beast topples columns as he crawls after her. Reaching the other side, Alice darts behind a pillar. The Jabberwocky spews lightning in her direction, but the column protects her. Alice makes a run for it. Swinging his tail, the dragon knocks her off her feet. He swipes the column, sending its fragments in her direction. Alice rolls aside, then sprints farther up the spiraling stairs. Climbing over the ruins, the Jabberwocky cuts her off and snaps his jaws at her. Ducking, the young woman dashes beneath him. She reaches the precipice and halts, peering down at the dizzying drop. As she turns back, the Jabberwocky rises into view, spreading his wings as he towers over her. On the battlefield, Stain and the Mad Hatter lock swords. The Hatter takes a needle from a pincushion ring and jabs his foe's eye. Swinging his broadsword, he sweeps Stain off his feet. On the ruins, the Jabberwocky lunges down and snaps at Alice. She leaps onto his neck. He thrashes wildly, but she holds tight. On the battlefield, the Hatter raises his sword over a helpless Stain. Meanwhile, the Jabberwocky tosses Alice high in the air. She raises her sword. She slices through his neck as she lands. The severed head plummets. Looking up, the Hatter sees the dragon's body fall. Alice watches the head tumble down the spiral staircase. The White Queen gapes. The Hatter knits his brow and looks down at Stain. As the beast's head bounces down the stairs, the Red Queen follows its descent with a stunned gaze. It lands with its lifeless eyes closed. The Hatter backs off from Stain and tosses his sword aside. Alice descends a few steps and faces the battlefield.
We follow you no more, bloody big head.
How dare you? Off with his head!
The red and white knight swap looks, then drop their weapons. The Hatter marches past Stain, who gets to his feet. The Red Queen gazes about bewilderedly as soldiers on both sides lay down their arms. The White Rabbit brings the Hatter his top hat. The Red Queen gasps as her crown floats up off her head and sails over the battlefield. It shimmers in a shaft of sunlight, changing from a deep brassy hue into sparkling white gold. The Cheshire Cat appears, lowering the crown toward the White Queen. As he sets it on her head, she shuts her eyes, and a breeze wafts her platinum tresses. The cat vanishes above her. Opening her eyes, she fiercely regards her sister.
Erasabeth of Crims, your crimes against Dundalin are worthy of death.
That is against my vows. Therefore, you were banished to the Outlands. No one is to show you any kindness or ever speak a word to you.
The White Queen advances on her sister.
You will not have a friend in the world.
Stain steps forward.
Majesty, I hope you bear me no ill will.
He forces a smile. The Red Queen blinks at him angrily.
Only this one, Ilosevich Stain. You are to join Erasabeth in banishment from this day until the end of Underland.
A red knight shackles them together at the wrist.
At least we have each other.
Stain's chest heaves as she simpers up at him. He draws a short sword and wields it above her. The Hatter throws a dagger, disarming him. The Tweedles step forward, bravely looking on as the knave drops to his knees before the White Queen.
Majesty! Please! Kill me! Please!
But I do not owe you a kindness.
Take off my head!
He tried to kill me.
Majesty!
He tried to kill me!
Please!
He tried to kill me!
Oh, Majesty! Kaloo!
Stepping into a sunbeam, he removes his top hat. He spins around and crouches low in grooves. The Cheshire Cat appears by Alice.
What is he doing?
Utter weapon.
The Hatter's feet turn in and out in a fluid motion as they shuffle and kick side to side while he snakes his arms. The White Queen demurely gets into the beat. The Hatter's head spins on his neck. The Tweedles grin and bob along to the music. The Hatter raises his hat, turns, and takes a graceful bow. He puts it back on. The Tweedles clap. The White Queen smiles and clasps her hands together. Alice and the Cheshire Cat watch as she crosses to the Jabberwocky's head and crouches before it. The kind monarch holds a vial beneath one of his fangs. As purple fluid trickles inside, she delicately retches. The Cheshire Cat vanishes, and the White Queen approaches Alice.
In the blood of the Jabberwocky, you have our everlasting gratitude. And for your efforts on our behalf?
She holds out the vial of glowing purple blood, and Alice accepts it.
Will this take me home, if that is what you choose?
She smiles gently and caresses the young champion's cheek. As the White Queen turns away, Alice stares down at the vial in her hand. Her friends gather together regarding her fondly. The Cheshire Cat appears near the White Queen's shoulder. Alice smiles at them, then turns her contemplative gaze back to the vial. As she hesitantly brings it toward her lips, the Mad Hatter approaches her from behind.
You could stay.
Turning to face him, Alice beams warmly.
What an idea. A crazy, mad, wonderful idea.
Under the Hatter's affectionate gaze, her smile fades and her brow knits sadly.
But I can't. There are questions I have to answer. Things I have to do.
The Hatter watches sadly as his young friend uncaps the vial. Bringing it to her lips, she drinks down its contents.
Be back again before you know it.
You won't remember me.
Of course I will. How could I forget?
The Mad Hatter maintains his melancholy stare. Alice regards him quizzically.
Hatter, why is a raven like a writing desk?
I haven't the slightest idea.
He yields a little smile. Alice beams at him as he leans close to her ear.
Fair foreign, Alice.
The young woman blinks sadly, her lips parted. Her otherworldly friend steps back, and they share a last fond look. Alice's lips curl into a faint, loving smile. Pale gray mist swirls around the Hatter, and their surroundings darken. As the scene fades to black, the Hatter's eye becomes a distant dot of light. We soar up at it through a stretching tunnel of earth and rock. Back in her own world, Alice reaches up from the tree's hollow base and pulls herself out. Her blue frock soiled and her blonde hair limp and filthy, she gets to her feet. The young adventurer glances toward the distant party, then heaves a grim sigh. Back at the gazebo, the crowd waits.
She left me standing there without an answer.
A case of nerves, no doubt.
Hamish turns as a disheveled Alice arrives.
Alice?
Good Lord. Are you all right?
What happened to you? Fell down a hole and hit my head. Sorry, Hamish. I can't marry you. You're not the right man for me. And there's that trouble with your digestion.
Alice faces her sister.
I love you, Margaret, but this is my life. I'll decide what to do with it.
Alice glares at Lowell.
You're lucky to have my sister for your wife, Lowell. I know you'll be good to her. Be watching very closely.
She takes her aunt's hands.
There is no prince, Aunt Imogen. You need to talk to someone about these delusions.
She smiles kindly, then eyes Hamish's mother.
I happen to love rabbits, especially white ones.
She stops in front of her own mother.
Don't worry, Mother. I'll find something useful to do with my life.
She glances at the brunette twins.
You two remind me of some funny boys I met in a dream.
The girls swap a look. Hamish's father steps forward.
You've left me out.
No, I haven't, sir. You and I have business to discuss.
Shall we speak in the study?
Alice smiles warmly. The crowd parts, making a path for her as she goes. She pauses and turns around.
Oh, and one more thing.
Lifting her dress to mid-shin, she shuffles her feet in a flutterwacken. Aunt Imogen stifles a giggle. Alice struts away, later in the nobleman's study.
My father told me he planned to expand his trade route to Sumatra and Borneo. But I don't think he was looking far enough. Why not go all the way to China? It's vast, the culture is rich, and we have a foothold in Hong Kong. To be the first to trade with China, can you imagine it?
They keenly regard each other.
You know, if anybody else had said that to me, I'd say you've lost your senses. But I've seen that look before. As you're not going to be my daughter-in-law, perhaps you'd consider becoming an apprentice with the company.
A smile spreads across Alice's lips. Now at a busy seaport, two ships float alongside a dock as travelers and workers bustle. Aboard one ship, Alice wears the same blue coat as in the White Queen's garden. The industrious girl climbs a stepladder from a lower deck and stands at the vessel's bow. As sailors unmoor the ship, Alice smiles at her mother and Margaret standing on the dock. Mrs. Kingsley gives a small wave. Beside the two women, Hamish's father grins. Alice turns to the front of the ship and walks toward the bowsprit. As she gazes out at the sea, a butterfly with light blue wings lands on her shoulder.
Hello, Absalom.
She smiles and watches the butterfly flap his wings, lifting off her shoulder. He glides through the air, then flutters his wings and soars higher. As our view pulls back, Alice and the ship recede before us. Fade to black.